we all need to hear. I need to hear it again. You know, most of the time before anybody gets up here, you usually have preached this to yourself a couple of times. I have, and I will one more time right now today. The word gifts today were really encouraging to me because it just kind of reinforces a lot of what I'm going to be talking about. So how many of you would consider yourselves born again? Just tell, give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. How many of you would consider yourselves spirit-filled?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. How about baptized with the Holy Spirit with power and signs and wonders?
Amen.
Amen. The kind of signs that make you wonder. I like that. A friend of mine in Florida uses that. Signs, and the kind of signs that make you wonder, right? Testimonies will bring that. Thanks for the testimony, Margie. You know, that was a supernatural gift from the Holy Spirit speaking through a believer's mouth that's been filled with the power of God to help change a man's life. Certainly his perspective. Arrested him in his tracks. You know, that's good. Like, whoa. Arrested him. What? What was that? He's like, you know, I know exactly what you mean. Behind the wall, you know, like doing his job. You know, there's some doctors that have like no personality, right? Some that do. But they're behind this wall of professionalism. And you hit him with a word like that, it crumbles the wall. Right? Hallelujah. So, I'm in the right church to preach this message today, right? I'm in the right church. Full of believers, people that are filled with the Spirit. People to believe in signs that make you wonder. It's the right place. It's the right time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and this is one of my favorite verses, the Apostle Paul comes, writes this letter to the church of Corinth, and he says that I did not come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 4, 19 through 21. And we'll just turn over there real quick. 1 Corinthians 4, 19 and 21. Another scripture similar to that. The Apostle Paul says this. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power, the dunamis. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? And you don't have to turn to this, but 1 Corinthians 1:7. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We all know that verse, right? I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power. Right? Power. Ephesians 3:7 talks about by the effective working of His power. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not the power of your words. I think we hear some great teachings here. Some great preaching here at Celebration Community Church. I really do, honestly. I'm not being prideful about that. But we hear some great we heard a little great teaching from Doug. Little, I only mean because it was shorter than his normal messages. Love you, man. But we hear good things. We hear great messages here. But if that's all we have is a great message, a great teaching, we've missed it. Right? If that's all we have. I mean, we can get our ears tickled. Oh, wow, that sounds really good. You can listen to preachers on TV. You can read good books from great men and women of God that will teach you and learn you a lot. But if it's not accompanied with the power of God, what good is it? Where's the power? Paul says, where's the power? I'm going to come. I'm going to check you out. If I only hear words, I want to see the power of God. Amen? We heard about the power of God today. In a good way, anxiously wait every Sunday morning for the word gifts. Because it's the demonstration of the power of God in our midst. The demonstration of the word gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, testimonies that'll build up your character and your spirit and strengthen you. equip you. Why do we come to church? To equip you. To equip me. Power. We hear words of faith. Healing. People get healed here. Hallelujah. These things come through people who have been born again, spirit-filled with the power of God. What happens if you take that, what you hear here, you take it outside? Like that testimony this morning. You take that same power and you take it outside these walls. You take it to school. You take it to work. You take it to your neighborhood. Take it to your family. They usually don't like to listen anyway. But if you take them the power of God, they have to listen. It will arrest them. Bring them a word like, I want to talk to you about your marriage. God's got a word about your marriage. Interesting, I don't know, Margie didn't say it like this, but a lot of times, you know, when God gives you a word, if you say that word, you might think, oh, it's just this one little word. You say that word, and guess what? It's like, I'm popping the cork. You just give you be faithful with the one word that God gives you, and He'll give you more. Amen? So the power of God would say this morning that there's some, and this is a word of knowledge that I got while we're worshiping, and I saved it till now. I knew He would. He always gives words, right? But there's somebody in here on the fence of whether they're going to follow Jesus. Wondering, man, is it worth the sacrifice? Is it worth giving up all what I want to do? And you're sitting on that fence, and I don't know who this is, how old you are, whether you're male or female. I don't know. But you're sitting on the fence, and you're wondering. I want to tell you, if you seek Him with all your heart, nothing will be impossible to you by the power of God. Nothing. So, we expect miracles here, right? We expect miracles. We're of that genre, mindset, whatever you call, you know, maybe some may call you a charismatic or a Pentecostal, but the fact of the matter is we believe the Bible. It still means it today. Everything that we see in the Scripture, Jesus said, go and do likewise. That's a real condensed version of what we believe. Right? Very, very condensed. So we have expectation of miraculous things happening in our lives and all around us. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. We have that expectation. That is a great expectation. So get equipped and take those expectations out. So we expect miracles, right? Amen. How many of you remember the first time that God did something through your words or your hands that was miraculous? Say amen. Remember that? Remember how exciting that was? How exciting it was to say, oh, that was God. It wasn't me. I laid hands on that person and they fell out. I got that word of knowledge to change that person's life. I prophesied. Remember those times? The first time it happens, it's like, wow, this is great. It's exciting. It's like when you first get born again, how exciting everything is. You know, one of the things that, you know, like when Doug said that, about there's a thing that I don't want to say anymore. I mean, God's shown me some things like that, like things not to say again. And that was great. Thank you. I will not use that phrase again. And if I do, I'll repent. Amen. That's the word. You know, we have said in the past, you know, joking around kind of, but not, man, when people get born again, you need to lock them up for a while because they're like crazy for Jesus. That is bad to say that. Don't say that. Let them loose. Turn them loose. That's what's going to help change the world. It's that excitement, the passion, because they've just started to live their purpose. And when you first start living your purpose in God, it should excite you. It should turn you on and make you smile, make you rejoice at the very... It's a bench! I love that. It's a bench. Everything is exciting, right? Glory to His name. But it's so great. We, you know, a phrase that God told me last week, I'm sitting in my mom and dad's church, and the pastor's preaching. It was a good message, and the Lord just dropped this word on me that I will never, on purpose, say to anybody again, be careful. Because the Greek word for that is anxious, concerned. So, There's another thing that you can say. Sorry, I'm sorry. You know, everybody said that, and mothers especially, right? You know, be careful. Be careful. I'm going to say, be alert, be aware. That's Bible, right? Be alert, be aware. It's just something God told me not to say anymore. He may tell you the same thing. Anyway, we use this phrase, we still hear it occasionally. We need to become natural with the supernatural. Natural. Jesus lived that way, right? That's the way to live, to be natural with the supernatural. Jesus was like that, so why shouldn't we live like that? It's the coolest way to live as a believer. It is, isn't it? It's the coolest way to live. Expecting the supernatural, seeing the supernatural happen on our behalf. God speaking through you. God healing through you. God moving mountains through you. God parting the sea for you. Right? Exciting things. But here's what I would like to spotlight today. Shining a little spotlight on something that the Lord wants us to learn. He wants to learn us today. We so expect miracles sometimes that we tend to know very little about sacrifice and perseverance. Now, I'm going to get around to that. I mean, we expect miracles. That's good. We need to expect miracles, right? But sometimes we forget about sacrifice and perseverance. These are godly character traits that come through trial, tribulations, troubles, disappointments, pain, and suffering. Our sister talked a little bit about that today. Turn with me to Romans 5. I'm going somewhere with this. Hopefully. Hopefully I have a destination. I think I have a destination. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 3. Starting in verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Come on, Paul. Really? You had to say that. Glory in tribulations? Uh-oh, and here's why. Because why? Tribulation produces perseverance. What does tribulation produce? What does it produce? Is that a good thing? Right up to that, it says, and perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So what does perseverance, tribulation produce? Perseverance. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6. You can turn over there as well. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6. We're going to talk a little bit more about it here. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, it's a good thing. You know, sometimes we need to go back to that famous song from 1972-73. The old Mick Jagger. You can't always get what you want. You know, we have that expectation in our society, in our culture, that we get what we want. We'll make it happen. But every now and then, you may be praying for something. You don't get what you want. Sometimes that's a good thing, amen? Sometimes it's a really good thing, because what we think we want, is not what is best for us. And God always knows what's best for us. The children of Israel wanted a king. God didn't want them to have a king. But they end up getting a king. They get begging for a king. Not what God wanted for him originally. What did Mick Jagger mean? You can't always get what you want. Well, a lot of times when we don't get our miracle, We go into this tailspin, right? Right? Because sometimes we do. And we think, oh, God must be angry with me. Has anybody ever thought that? I have. God must be angry with me. Must be some secret sin in my life. Some relative 10 times removed must have been a witch. Come on, we've thought these things. I must be under a curse. There must be some secret sin. I must somehow be disqualified from this miracle that I prayed for. I know you're all smiling because you've all thought some of these things. I have thought some of these things. Now, let's just tackle a couple of these things. First of all, He is not angry with you. God is not angry with you. Jesus satisfied that anger when He gave Himself up and was murdered on the cross, like we sang this morning. God's not angry with you. Can we just put that away now? just put that away. God's not angry with you. Somebody ought to be happy about that. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm glad you're not angry with me, Lord. Hallelujah, because I deserve some anger. And so did you. Now, it's also to check things out, like, you know, make sure you're not under curse. It's okay. We know how to break curses here. So you don't have to stay under a curse. And if there's been witchcraft or any of that kind of junk in the past, that can be taken care of. Sin? Ask God. Ask God. He won't take long to show you. If you got some kind of sin or secret sin, He won't take long to show you. Get some help. But don't think that you're going to be disqualified from God working miracles. I heard a guy named Chris Vallotton say this. Anybody ever hear, read anything of his? He's got some pretty interesting, cool stuff. But here's what he said. One of the side effects of a miracle, signs, and wonders culture is you can come to a mindset that if it's not instant, it can't be God. I'll read it one more time. One of the side effects of a miracle, signs, and wonders culture is if you can come to a mindset that if it's not instant, it can't be God. Like God always does everything instantly, right? We can fall into that mindset. We have to be aware of that. But as believers, we have to get used to pressing in. Pressing in. That's the hard part. Pressing, hey, isn't it great when you pray and you get an immediate miracle? Hallelujah. Isn't it okay to expect that? Of course it is. But if you don't get it immediately, I guess God's not in this. He didn't answer right away. And we back off and we don't persevere. We don't learn. We don't grow. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. A couple parables. Then I'm going to give you a personal parable. And it has nothing to do with my wife, so you're okay. Sometimes it's like, uh-oh. I may suffer later. Okay, Luke chapter 11. A wonderful chapter. Of course, all chapters in the Bible are wonderful. But this is about, you know, the disciples come, Lord, teach us how to pray. And He does. Gives them the Lord's Prayer. Many of us have memorized that from our youth. We've learned this prayer. We've memorized it. We certainly have heard it. He teaches the disciples how to pray. And then, verses 5 through 8, talks about a friend who comes at midnight. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And he goes on and on. And this person is persistent. Persistent in asking his friend, even though it's midnight, even though it's late, hey, I need some bread. And what happens to the friend? All right. Because of your persistence. Verse 8, yeah, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Here, take it all. Just let me go back to bed. Right? A lesson in persistence. And then, check this out. Then we get this famous ask, seek, and knock message. Man, we could spend a lot of time on that. I'm just going to spend a few moments. And here it is. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And it goes on to say, you know, the son's not going to ask the father for bread, and he's going to give him something bad, right? He's going to give us good things, right? He's going to give us what we need, what we, you know, many times what we want, but certainly what we need. When you're lined up with Jesus, you know a little bit better how to pray too, don't you? Well, the words ask, seek, knock, they're continuous words. All right? You could read it like continuously asking, continuously seeking, continuously knocking. It is the Greek present tense from what I read in my Bible. It's continuous. Because if you ask, you seek, you knock, 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 knock. God hears us. But a lot of times, we quit before we receive. A lot of times, we lose focus before we find. A lot of times, we move to another door before it's opened. Because we're not persistent. I can't tell you how many people have come to me in my over 30 years of ministry and said to me, I prayed and nothing happened. Come on, I've said it. How many of you have said that? Some of you probably said it to me. I prayed and nothing happened. And then a lot of times, I don't know, I have this way. You don't like the answer I'll give you. Pray again. Pray again and again. And don't give up. And don't quit. Pray again. Go and pray again. Oh, you mean in a different way? No. Pray again. Oh, maybe I didn't end my prayer in Jesus' name. From now on, I'm going to pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Probably did that wrong. Maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I need to pray in the Holy Spirit. They're helping me out in the back row to do it right. Okay. Like, and I'm going to use a word that some of you might go, what? He said that in church? Like we need some magic word to get the miracle. You know what I mean by that, right? I don't mean incantations. You know, I'm not trying to be evil or witchy. But sometimes it's like we need the special magic phrase that always works. I'm going to go to a seminar and I'm going to learn the magic words. I'm going to read this book. Oh man, this great book. And because there's some special phrases that are almost like magic words that will always bring the miracle. What's that? The phrase that pays. All right, that's it. The phrase that pays. I like it. But you hear what I'm saying? And you know what I mean by that. Or I have to pray my prayers with all the right scriptures. I got to put this scripture in as if God doesn't know. I got to put this scripture in. I got to pray it like this. I have to use the right intonation. I have to pray with the King's English. Otherwise, you know. See where I'm going with this? We have to be persistent in prayer. We don't need magic words. Someone once said this, the way to success is to never quit. The way to success is to never quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Let me give you one of my parables. Some of you can relate to this parable. That is, when I was young, my dad heated our house mostly with wood. I know someone can relate, and his family. Someone can relate. And Stephen, someone can relate. How many more people have been there, heated their house with wood? Okay, right? Okay, well, you know, for some people, I guess maybe most people, relaxing around a warm crackling fire brings on thoughts of relaxation and romantic senses. Not for those who have to chop it. Usually it's cold because there's the gathering, there's the sawing, you know, there's the splitting, there's the stacking, there's the hauling in when there's snow on the ground, right? Did I leave anything out? No, it's work. It's work. Well, we see work, we see survival, we see warmth, yes, but it's not fun. Oh, in my family, we did not have one of those really cool, fancy, gas-powered hydraulic splitters. My dad had a two-legged splitter, and his name was Larry. True story. Because we would haul home these 8-foot cherry logs from my grandfather's farm. They had an abundance of cherry there. A lot of times, oh, cherry, we could make furniture out of that. Well, they did that too, but they had so much they would burn it. And it burns great, good hardwood. So we'd haul this back, then we chainsaw them into 18 to 20 inch long to fit in the wood-burning stove, the nice airtight Vermont castings, you know, that my dad had in his living room. We used to call it the pass-out room. You know, because when it was warm, you go in there and go, pass-out room. So we'd cut these. Sometimes we didn't have the chainsaw, and it was the bow saw. You ever use a bow saw? Yeah, man. True story. Hard labor can shape you. Amen? Now, then came the splitting. Anybody ever split rounds with a maul or an axe? Yeah, okay, right. Doesn't just happen. Then I'm talking to a few experts in here. How many times do you have to hit that before it splits? How many times? Tim gets the gold star. Hit it till it breaks. You hit it until it splits. For Steve, it probably is one or two hits. And there's a reason why. I'm going to use you as an example, if that's okay. I'm not really asking your permission. I'm just going to do it anyway. You hit it. Sometimes it's 1, 10, 25, or more until it splits. Makes me think of one of those videos that has things dangerous happening, and you hear in the background, do not try this at home. Warning, warning, do not try this at home. What you see on this video is performed by seasoned professionals. Never try it yourself. Loss of limb or heads could result. It's a dangerous occupation to be a wood splitter, right? It is. My dad, what's that? Yeah, that's Troy. My dad would always tell me that an accident with a chainsaw is a trip to the hospital. That's what he ingrained that in me. You know, and it's very true, especially when you're... I always wear a hard hat with a face shield and the kind of special pants that have, you know, the Kevlar in them. You know, I've taken chances in my life, and thanks to my wife, taught me not to take as many anymore. Be alert and be aware. Otherwise, the wrath will come. You suffer. So, but you swing over and over and over if you have to. You might be 5 swings, 10 swings. Maybe on that 12th swing, that log splits like it was always supposed to. Right? That's what it feels like. Finally, ka-chunk, yeah! Split. This is what I believe Jesus was talking about. This attitude about when he said, keep asking. Keep seeking, keep knocking. You keep swinging. Keep swinging until it splits. You know you got to split the log. You can't just toss it aside. You know, you got to split it. You know, it's like, you know, everybody's eating pistachios. You know, you crack them in. You know, gives your thumbnails a good workout and you crack them. But every now and then you'll come across one that you can't split. Now with the pistachio, I just toss it, you know. But, you know, splitting this wood, you got to keep hitting it till it splits. Here's another detail about log splitting that's important. If you want to split logs efficiently, you keep hitting it in the same spot, right? That would be an important detail. Keep hitting it in the same spot, over and over in the same spot. Not all over the log, like your greenhorn, like in here, all over the log. You know, if you keep hitting it in the same spot, you'll split faster. It's all about economy of motion and effort and work. Nobody wants to keep splitting a log and hitting it 50 times when you could do it in 5 times, right? How about that? Keep praying the same way. Keep praying for that family member who needs to repent and get saved. Keep praying for that contentious neighbor. You keep praying. Keep praying for that healing. Keep praying for that restoration. Keep praying for that job. Amen? You don't quit. I'm talking to a lot of people here that are not quitters, and I understand that. But here's some encouraging words. Turn with me over to Luke 18. Just a few more pages over to the right, Luke chapter 18. In verse 1, I hope you highlight it. Because, you know, stay with me here for a minute, okay? Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why you have to be persistent in prayer? Yeah, get perseverance. But do you know, you want to know why? Please say yes. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Verse 1, chapter 18. Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Always ought to pray and not lose heart. And he goes on to say this parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And you could be talking about a whole bunch of people in government today, right? Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now our God's not going to get weary. We know that. And we know our God is righteous. All right? She weary me. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said." That's hard to say fast. "Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" Verse 8, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" He is tying faith with persistence here. He's tying this together. You want to be a faith-filled person? You need to persevere and pray and pray and pray and not lose heart. See, the Father equates faith with these sons and daughters of His who cry out day and night to Him. This day and night, this continuum, this asking, seeking, knocking continuously over and over. Oh, and by the way, prayer's not begging. Don't beg God. You don't need to beg your Father who loves you. You ask. The difference between asking and begging. Those of you who are parents, you know the difference, right? You know immediately. So don't be like your kids, begging God. "Oh God, please give me some bread. Oh, please have mercy on me and give me something to eat." You don't beg God, you ask Him. It's okay. Because He has the power. And He has the resources. You know, the children of Israel, they got in trouble several times coming through the wilderness, begging God. Complaining, "Nothing to drink or eat, blah, 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 blah." You know, and it ticked God off. You can read it. Made Him angry. They weren't treating Him like a righteous father. Don't beg a loving Father. So, when Jesus comes again, will He find you and I praying day and night? Will He find faith in the earth? Faith doesn't just mean believing God for a breakthrough. Faith means you keep going to pray day and night and not losing heart. Until you see the breakthrough. You keep praying. Jesus is saying to us, am I going to come back and find the kind of people of faith who won't lose heart? Is He going to find that in you? I hope so. Is He going to find it in me? I hope so. To pray and not lose heart. I've always said this, it's always too soon to quit. I stole that from somebody probably 30 years ago. It's always too soon to quit. Don't quit on God. People quit on God. God never quits on you. That's truth right there. God will never forsake us or leave us. Many times we leave Him. People will leave Him. But He'll never leave us. Then, you know, people quit because, you know, they'll blame God and the church, their parents, their job, their education, their community, their whatever, their government. Many times people quit just a moment or a day or two before the breakthrough. If we only knew how many times we quit too soon, maybe we should never know. But don't quit now. You know, yes, sometimes we need some training in how to pray. That's okay. That's good. Get trained up. Get discipled. Get some maturity. Be mentored. Learn how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, do what the disciples did to Jesus. Ask. You know, ask somebody that's been around a while. How do you pray? You know, give me some encouragement. I want to be a more effective prayer. Amen? That's okay. It's okay to ask that. It's a good thing. Get some education there. But you still need to swing your axe on the log until it splits. You need to swing your axe. See, in my wood-splitting education, I learned a few things. I've shared two of them with you. The first one is hit the log till it splits. Pretty simple. You won't forget that, right? Just hit it until it splits. Don't quit, right? Second one is hit the log in the same spot until it splits. Don't quit. Here's two more things I want to drop on you, okay? And that is, the third thing is, keep your axe sharp. Those of you who split wood before, what happens when your axe gets dull? It takes a heck of a lot more effort to split wood with a dull axe or maul, whatever you're using. It takes a lot more effort. You know, and actually, you know, what old timers will say, and it's still true, a dull axe is a dangerous axe. It'll bounce off. It'll skimp. You ever, when you're splitting wood, you go to hit it. If it's dull, if you hit it exactly just a little bit off, it'll go, pew! You ever do that? That's why if you ever split wood, don't try this at home, but, you know, just instruction in the natural, make sure nobody's within two lengths of that axe, right? Right? That's, you know, and when you're splitting wood, make sure you never split wood with somebody on that side of you. This is in case you ended up trying this at home. You've been warned. Keep your axe sharp. See, I relate this to meditating on God's Word. That'll keep your axe sharp, right? Keep your sword sharp. Keep your axe sharp. Meditate on His Word. Spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. What's my kingdom purpose today? Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. Meditate on the Word. Spend time fellowshipping. Spend time praising and worshiping. Spend time living a life of gratefulness, thankfulness. These exhortations will keep your axe sharp. Amen? And you'll split more wood that way. Yeah, there'll be some effort, but a lot less effort to do it like that. Fourth thing, learn to read the log. Learn to read the log. Steve, you said, yeah, that's right. You got to learn to read the log when you're splitting it. Of course, with those hydraulic splitters, but you know, when you're doing it by hand, you need to learn to read the log. Because, and nobody can really teach you this. You got to do this to experience it. When it comes to log splitting and when it comes to praying, you got to do it yourself. Because when you learn to read the log, you'll see the grain of the wood and you'll adjust the log so that when you go to split it, you're splitting it with the grain and not against the grain. You will learn this and you'll turn that log to the right place and go, okay, I see exactly where I want to hit. And when you get good at it, you will hit that spot every time. Amen? So learn to read the log. And you can only learn this by experience. Nobody can teach you. The first time you hit like a hard spot or a knot, and the axe bounces, whoop, almost beans you in ahead, you'll learn not to hit that knot the next time. Oh, there's a knot. Oh, I'm going to avoid that knot. I'm going to move a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left. Avoid them. Why do some people seem to get their prayers answered more quickly than you? Maybe they've learned to read the log better. Learn how to pray. They've persisted. They haven't quit. They're on it day because they want to stay warm. They want their prayers answered.
They kept swinging, even when it was hard. Through hardship and trial, they persevered, and they did not quit. So you can't read a book on how to do this. You got to do it. These are the things you got to do. Could God give us what we ask for immediately all the time, like a genie in a bottle? He could, but he doesn't. He doesn't choose to go that way. He wants us to pray and not lose heart. He wants to find faith on the earth. He wants us to overcome resistance. He wants us to overcome temptation. You know, we all probably have heard a saying to this. I'm not sure who originated it, but I'm going to read it the way I remember it. We all come to a point in our lives when we look back and see that Father God is more interested in the work he does in us than the work he does through us. God's more interested in the work he does in us, shaping our character, forming our ways, than the work he does through us. Get that? You know what I'm saying there? He's really concerned about that. Because guess what? He can choose somebody else to do the work. I mean, we know in the Old Testament, he chose the donkey. So, first time we think you're really special, you know, God chose a donkey to speak. Right? But, you know, it is important. The work's important. I'm not minimizing the work, but make sure the work is being done in yourself. And that's what this persistence does. So, you want to know how I know this is true? By my own experience, my own little parable here. That is, when I left home to join the Air Force, my dad no longer had to teach me and learn me and correct me and make me work and watch my character grow. It wasn't his responsibility anymore when I left home. It was the United States Air Force's job at that point in time. So, you know how I know this parable is true? Because shortly after I left home, my dad went out and bought a gas-powered hydraulic log spinner. He didn't have to learn me anymore. His two-legged log splitter was saluting Uncle Sam. He still needed the wood, but he found another means. It was probably more efficient. Less complaining, for sure. For sure. Dad, it's cold out. Dad, I chopped 3 cords last year. How many do you want me to chop this year? You see, just like my dad, your Father in heaven knows you need to split some spiritual wood. And the wood is nice, but it's really about your character. Amen? Let's all stand up. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us some things this morning. And Lord, let us remember